appreciate so much your presence and glad to have you tonight. The church is, its welfare is at stake. My soul is involved in this. My going to heaven, and when we go to the judgment bar of God, we sing in the song in just a moment, what will our answer be? And I don't want I have to answer to the Lord that I was just indifferent and negligent and I could have done better and I didn't. Now, I'm not the judge, and that's going to be left up to the Lord, and I dare not to usurp his prerogatives. I can just teach what the Bible says, and whether someone goes to heaven or not is none of my business. It's his, and I'm glad it's that way, because I'd be partial, or I wouldn't be fair, or I wouldn't show enough mercy. And so God's going to do it just exactly right, and I've got a lot to answer for, and so I don't need to have some other things in my life that I just willfully do to stand before Jesus and give an account for them. I wish that everybody could be here, but I want to tell you something. I'm glad you're here, and I want to commend you. And we have a fine audience tonight, and we're grateful for your support and your presence, and we trust it'll be uplifting and edifying and moving and inspirational. And there's some other adjectives that I could use, or verbs, to describe the service this evening. But we're just delighted that you're here. If you're visiting with us, we're happy to have you. Now, I was thinking a while ago about brethren who don't come as they should, and that's true in every church about, I guess, except maybe one that's just newly formed and everybody's gung-ho, and then you got about 25 or 30 of them, and they're just as many Sunday night as Sunday morning and Wednesday night. But you know, you have this problem, and I just decided to take it up on my own as an individual Christian. I'm going to call you, and I'm going to ask you. Now, Harris Dark was at Grant and Summit Church years ago. He was a great man, and Harris took it up on himself, or Brother Dark, to just send members a card at the end of a month. Here's how much you missed. Here's your record. And I don't know how much that helped. I'm sure it had to help some to some degree. But I think that we need to be made aware of our shortcomings. When we can get discouraged, we can get downhearted, maybe we need to be uplifted. I don't know what it is that it causes folks to lose interest, but that happens. And they need somebody to call and encourage, or call and mildly rebuke, and try to get them to see their duties and responsibilities, and that's done out of interest and love and concern for them. Now, I don't have any authority to discipline. That's done by the church here. All I'm doing is an individual of calling and expressing interest in individuals, and I know I can do that without overstepping any boundaries in any way, and you can do the same thing if you so choose. Well, tonight, for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about a very important matter, and that's time. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, Paul said, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. What does he mean, brethren, redeeming the time? Well, basically, he means to recover time from waste, to improve it for great and important purposes. And by the expression, days are evil, he's simply saying there are many allurements and temptations that would lead us away from the proper improvement of time, and that would draw us into sin and hence waste our time. Now, every Christian has this responsibility to use his time in an appropriate manner. You know, time is a remarkable thing. It's remarkable because of its value. You can't buy it. There's nothing that we can do to create time. There's just so much of it in each day, 24 hours. And what are we going to do with it? How are we going to use it? Thomas Edison said, time is the most valuable thing in the world. And I'm impressed, always have been, with Thomas Edison because he was a very busy man. I heard, if I remember correctly, he only slept about 4 hours a night. Now, I can't get by on that. Some do, he did. I can't. In his lifetime, he invented about 1,000 different things. Among those was the incandescent electric light bulb, the phonograph, moving pictures, automatic telegraph system, storage battery. And all this was done in a relatively short lifetime when you think about the number of years we live, 70. And so time is very valuable. Benjamin Franklin in Poor Richard's Almanac said, dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made of. Now life is very important as to how we use it, and we use it in relation or regard to time. So time is valuable, and it is irretrievable. You know, there's a lot of things that we lose that can be regained. One of them is health. Another is money. Even the character can be repaired that's been temporarily destroyed. We can lose friends and regain them, but time can't be recalled. And we're almost into 1992. Next Sunday will be December the 1st. We'll never pass this way again. We think about the years past and we live those, then there's nothing we can do, ladies and gentlemen, to change it. Now, thanks be to God, we can be forgiven for our mistakes and our sins, but we can't change it. And you see the time machine, that's fascinating. You go back 100 years before you ever born. And there you're living in the old West or wherever you want to be transferred to. Did you ever stop to think about if you go back and start in grade school and just live it all over again, what you would do? But that's impossible. So I can't capture or recapture the past. I just live at the present. What am I going to do with the time that God affords me? Someone wrote, I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me. Can't refuse it. Didn't seek it. Didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny minute, because eternity is in it. So I can't retrieve time. And then it's a very elusive thing. We hear expressions like, I just don't have time. Or where does time go? Well, it has a tendency to get away from us. But what's strange, ladies and gentlemen, is our foreparents, even back to some of us who are older, our mothers and dads, and especially I can remember my grandparents, who didn't have the conveniences that we enjoy today. They didn't have the modern transportation. When I was growing up in the hills of eastern Kentucky, we walked. Most places we went. And if you were fortunate, you might have a good saddle horse that you could ride. Or you had an old jolt wagon and you'd put the family in that and they'd go to service. And you didn't have the indoor plumbing. And if you wanted to wash the clothes, you had to draw water out of the well or maybe bring it from the spring. And you got up in the morning like it's cold, and you'd build a fire. And you'd have to break the ice in the water bucket in order to get the water. And that's just the sum of a lot of inconveniences, the hardships. And we didn't know they were hardships then.
But in spite of all of that and what we call ginning, which means the chores around the barn, milking the cows at daylight in the morning, feeding the livestock, and the same thing in the evening, you still had time for fun and association together and going to church. Now we got our automobiles and airplanes and telephones and fax machines and all of these up-to-date inventions, and we still don't have time to do anything. Well, what's the problem? We just don't take it. To redeem the time, we must have the proper priorities, brethren. Now, every one of us is afforded the same amount of time. I don't care who he is. There are 24 hours in a day, and the question is, how are we going to cut the pie? How are we going to use our time? When we start thinking about cutting the pie, obviously the kingdom of God is to come first. And that doesn't mean we have to be at church all the time, 7 days a week, every month, all year, in order to put the kingdom of God first. The kingdom of God first is living the Christian life. Seek the kingdom and his righteousness, the principles of truth, a right relationship at home and business, in government, wherever we find ourselves, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ comes first. Now, when we cut this pie, how are we going to proportion it? Well, we got a certain amount of times for church attendance and programs of the church and gospel meetings, and so we put church, and we got a certain amount of time for sleep, and we got to eat, and we got to work, and we got to have some recreation. Normally, it's good to recreate the body, to have things to do that you enjoy from a physical and a mental standpoint. But when we cut the pie, if we don't have any time left, brethren, for a work in the church, for studying the Bible, and for trying to teach others about Jesus Christ, then we need to reproportion it. In Romans 13 and verse 11, Paul said that we're near our salvation than when we believed. Well, Paul, that being the case, what should we do that we're drawing nigh to eternal salvation as Christians? And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. Let's not be indifferent or sluggish or in alert as we move toward our eternal reward. Because if we do not wake out of our sleep, if we continue in this lethargy and lukewarmness, we won't have that eternal reward. And so he says it's high time that we wake out of our sleep. There are a lot of us, brethren, today in the church that are asleep. We let ourselves maybe be lulled into that, and perhaps we don't even realize it. I read some years ago about an experiment that was run on a frog in a laboratory. They put a bullfrog in a pan of water and turned the temperature, turned the stove on or the heat on under that pan of water with the frog in it, at a very, very low temperature that it would increase just thousands of a degree per minute or something. Very, very low. But over a period of hours, it became very hot. In fact, that frog didn't know that he was being cooked. And it sat in that water and died, was cooked.
and didn't even realize it. Now we can have the same thing happen to us spiritually, brethren, that it takes place so slowly and gradually that we don't see ourselves as needing to wake out of our sleep. How much time do I take, for example, in studying the Word of God, the Bible? Do I have a Bible? Now, I always tell brethren to get a Bible, a good Bible, one that you like, and it differs by Bible. I mean a reputable translation. I'm not talking about one of these modernistic translations that paraphrases and it just translates the truth right out of the Bible. But get a Bible that you like and personalize it. Ron Halbrook, when he was here for a meeting, he said, "Well, then I want you to drive me over near Columbus." He said, "I want a company over there to repair the edges on my Bible." That was the awfulest looking book. Frayed, worn, but he personalized it. Just little notes everywhere. Dirty. And that means it's been used. And so he took one over to the company, and they got a machine that they can repair those edges, make them durable. Now, he didn't want to throw that away. And get him a new one. That was a personalized Bible. Ron Halbrook, to use him as an illustration, is an arduous student of the Word of God. I knew a man some years ago that was converted out of a denominational church. He was just on fire for the Lord. In 6 months, he was preaching. Some of us, brethren, can't learn the Bible in 6 years or seemingly 60 years to a degree that we can have a working knowledge of it. Is it time? Are we devoting it to something else? Now, I know not everybody can be a teacher, and I realize some problems that some of us would have in that particular area. But are we taking advantage of the time that's ours to learn the Bible? Now, God says, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul. Hebrews 5, verse 12 says that you ought to be teachers. When for the time you ought to be teachers? There's an interim, brethren, that we need to be teachers of the Word of the Lord. And so we study the Bible, learn the Bible, and that requires a lot of mental industry. What about teaching others? Maybe giving them a tract, setting up a home study, or just giving them a tape and saying, "Listen to this." Last night, we came out of the restaurant, and in the door of the car was a tract. Somebody put that there. When the gospel tract, it's teaching denominational error. Listen, denominational people, many of them, are propagating their doctrine. They're flooding the airways. They're using every means at their disposal, brethren, to teach the gospel of Christ. And the question comes to us, to you, and to me, how much time am I taking to try to teach the gospel of Christ? If brethren would say, "Well, then I've got an appointment for you. I want you to come over here at so-and-so place, and I want you to teach these people about whatever the subject may be." And I tell you, friend, I'd be delighted that almost every night of the week that I had home studies set up where we'd have a Bible class and disseminate the Word of God. Well, somebody says, "I don't know of anybody, preacher." You may not. Some of you won't. Many may not do it right now. Some may, however. Or it may tomorrow or next month, there may be an opportunity that arises to have a Bible study. What am I talking about? Using our time. Cutting the pie.
So that we have time allotted there for the promotion of the kingdom of God. We need time to make adequate preparation to meet God in the judgment, develop our character, to be ready and prepared and alert and at peace with God and blameless and faithful when Jesus comes and we're found that way at his appearing. Now there's another thing here I want to talk about just for a little bit and then I'm quitting. If we use our time, and I say we must do it while the sun shines. John chapter 9, verse 4. Jesus said, "Let us work the works of him while it is yet day. For the night comes when no man can work." What can make the sun go down in our lives? He's not talking about the literal sun. He's talking about while we're living. He's talking about the day of while we're living. For the night will come when no man can work. What can make the sun go down? Well, death, obviously. The second coming of Jesus. Or bodily handicaps. We become incapacitated that we're not able to do anything. Or we have or will develop a seared conscience. And I don't want to do anything. How far along in your life or in my life is the clock of time? And I saw this some time ago. And I thought, well, then you're not all that old. But I got looking at that clock and I tell you, I'm past six in the evening. Huh? And when you start looking at it, many of you that may think you're relatively young, it may be at midday or after. Jesus said, work now. Take advantage of your time, of your opportunities today, for the night cometh when no man can work. Someone wrote, "When I was a child, I laughed and wept. Time crept. When I was a youth, I laughed and talked. Time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still, I daily grew, time flew. Soon I shall be traveling on. Time is gone." The clock of time is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. Now is the time you own. Live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in tomorrow, for the hands may then be still. What are we to do, Paul, with time? Redeem it. Buy it up, as it were. Not waste it. Use it. Why, Paul? Because the days are evil. Things in this life and attractions and allurements of this world, this old mundane earth, transitory in nature, can captivate our hearts and our mind that our time that we have is consumed in running in that direction. I've talked long enough. If you're in the audience tonight and you're not a Christian, why don't you use your time to the glory of God?
Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation, the Bible teaches. Why not this hour that you have right now? Why don't you come and say, "I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to obey the gospel." And take advantage of the wonderful privilege that
yours. Obey the God of heaven tonight, and to forgive, cleanse, and remove every sin, and put you on the road to heaven. Why not tonight? Why together we stand, why we stand.